You're listening to Vatican Radio. Pope Francis and the Secretary General of the World Council of Churches, Reverend Olaf Fixet-Weidt, have discussed new opportunities for Christian unity today, focused on working together for peace, justice and environmental protection. At a meeting in the Vatican on Friday, the two leaders reaffirmed their commitment to the path of full and visible communion among Christians of different denominations. They also talked about peace in the Middle East and on the Korean Peninsula, about economic justice and about an upcoming summit of religious leaders to press for urgent action on climate change. The Geneva-based World Council of Churches is a fellowship of 345 member churches from over 110 different countries. In his words to the Secretary-General, Pope Francis thanked the organisation for its work over the past half century in overcoming mutual misunderstanding and promoting sincere ecumenical cooperation. If Christians ignore the call to unity which comes from the Lord, he warned, they risk ignoring the Lord himself.
I cristiani ignorano la chiamata all'unità rivolta loro dal Signore. Essi rischiano di ignorare il Signore stesso.
Though the road to unity is still an uphill struggle, he said, the Spirit encourages us to move forward in trust.
It was a very good conversation. We shared our vision.
Just after the audience, I spoke to Reverend Fixet-Weidt to find out more about their conversation and about their shared vision for the future of the ecumenical movement.
I responded to what we understand is his vision for how the Church shall serve the needs of the world, sharing the gospel, being together doing this, but also how we shall address the issues of justice and peace in the world together. And I shared our vision as a World Council of Churches and also my personal understanding of commitment to what it means to work for justice and peace as a Christian. We recognize that we, in many ways, have the same perspectives but also the same spirit. So it was a very good conversation.
He gave a very strong endorsement of the ecumenical movement, didn't he, saying those who ignore the call to unity risk ignoring the Lord himself.
Yeah, and there is no doubt, and it was no doubt before either, about his commitment to unity. I think what he said and what I said is that there are new opportunities for Christian unity today, particularly how we serve the world together, and we should focus on how we can do that. He was interested in some particular issues I raised with him about the Middle East, also about Korea, peace in Korea, and our work for economic justice and for the environment. And apparently we have a common ground on which we can really work together.
You were in Korea, of course, for the 10th Assembly of the World Council of Churches last autumn. Have you been able to follow up at all on the work of reconciliation between North and South, as you hope to do?
Yes, we are working on another meeting between participants from North Korea and South Korea to happen in Geneva before the summer. We have had positive responses from both sides. I'm personally going to visit South Korea in April to discuss this further, how we facilitate this in the next steps. It's very important for us to see how the churches can bring another vision, another hope that things really can change. And I think the Assembly brought some of that, but now it's also important that we try to find a way to bring this vision into something that can happen. The expectations from the Korean churches are quite significant, both to the World Council of Churches, but I think also to the Roman Catholic Church.
When we were last speaking in Busan in South Korea, you talked to me about the hopes, the expectations of a new momentum for the ecumenical movement. Do you think, looking back after several months now, that that was really one of the results of the meeting?
Yes, I think so. I think it is a momentum where we realize that we cannot divide the ecumenical movement into those who are evangelicals, those who are ecumenicals, those who work for unity, those who work for mission, those who work for justice. It really belongs together in a very strong way. This is how we are called to serve in the world. And this was also what we confirmed in the conversation today with His Holiness, and the way he also emphasized that we are together in this. And I think this is a strong message that also strengthened this momentum.
Pope Francis talks a lot about mission or going out to the peripheries, to those on the margins. In the World Council of Churches, you talk more about listening to mission coming from the margins, from the periphery. Is there a difference of vision here?
No, I don't think so. But I think we in the World Council of Churches have talked a lot about how we shall help the margins. And I think we now realize that to empower those who are in the margins, that they also are witnesses, that they also contribute, and sometimes something that others cannot, is a way to strengthen how we both raise the issues of justice, but also how we raise the issue of God's presence in the world as it is. So I think this is two ways of sharing the same vision.
You mentioned, as you say, Jerusalem, the emphasis on the Middle East, and Pope Francis's upcoming visit there to meet with Patriarch Bartholomew. What are your expectations for that? How significant do you think it will be for the ecumenical movement?
Well, as I said to him, it is significant that this strong moment of leaders coming together in Jerusalem, where our Christian faith really has its basis, is very significant for all of us. But that it happens now in this time when Jerusalem is not in peace, and where the peoples living in Jerusalem and around Jerusalem, all of them are desperately in need of a peace that is sustainable, but also that is just. And I think his visit there and also the meeting with the ecumenical patriarch can be another encouragement to those who need to take the necessary steps towards another peace for Jerusalem.
Two other issues you raised, you mentioned climate change and the economy of life, as you call it. What are your hopes here? Because climate change, environmental issues, never seem to make it so high up the agenda, do they?
I refer to the call the General Secretary of the UN, Ban Ki-moon, brought, for example, in the World Economic Forum in January this year, where he called governments, business sector and civil sector, including the religious leaders, to bring something new that can really make changes in how we give priorities to the environment, how we invest in a totally different way, and how we really make decisions that are necessary to make now. We have to raise this as a momentum. As the World Council churches have done it for years, we believe it's also time to call other religious leaders for a summit. The day before the summit, Ban Ki-moon has called for the heads of states in September in New York, and the Pope was apparently supporting this idea very strongly.
Did you invite him to come, or would you be expecting someone from the Justice and Peace Council, for example?
I ask that he bless that somebody from the Roman Catholic Church is present. But for us it's important that there is a significant presence of the Roman Catholic Church in this event.
Pope Francis recently sent a very personal iPhone message to evangelicals meeting in the United States. I'm wondering, what do you think is the impact of those very informal, unofficial gestures in terms of the broader ecumenical context today?
All ecumenical relations are personal relations in the sense that we are all human beings. We are communicating through our words, through our emotions, through our signs. I think these are signs of deep friendship, but also of deep loyalty to one another. And it can build bridges that we are not able to build if we don't have a close personal relationship. On the other hand, it's important that these personal relationships are connected to solid work on theological reflection and also common initiatives. But it goes together, and it's necessary to do the progress we need to do all of this.
At the WCC, you recently held a study day, didn't you, to reflect on the Pope's apostolic exhortation, Evangelii Gaudium. Yeah. It seems quite a significant gesture, and I'm wondering if you'd like to see perhaps the Curia studying towards a common vision.
We found that his apostolic exhortatio was a very strong personal encouragement to share the gospel. And he did it in a very impressive and convincing way, that it is possible to do this with a great joy and that we really have something to share. And then he developed a vision that is very close to what we discuss now about this pilgrimage for justice and peace and how we shall serve the world through sharing the love of God and the love of God for all. So the study we had was also to see what's going on outside the World Council of Churches, but also how can we be inspired by the new leadership of Pope Francis. We find that the program he has in his name very strongly corresponds to what we believe is our task at the moment.
So you're very optimistic, in fact, at the conclusion of this meeting?
Definitely so. And he apparently gave a very strong leadership at this moment to see how can we find new ways to serve the world together and not be so preoccupied with ourselves. And I think this is a very important call to all of us.
My thanks there to Reverend Olaf Fuchs-Tveit, General Secretary of the World Council of Churches.